from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We are one day away from cutdown day for the Browns. 16 players have been waived already today. Also, Nick Chubb's been placed or will stay on the PUP. That means we're not going to see him till at least week five. We've got news about Jack Conklin, Jed Wills, DeAnthony Bell, and two other Browns players, including Greg Newsome and Dalvin Tomlinson. Don't know why I said including when I just said all five names, that they've passed their physical to talk about all things Cleveland Browns. What's been an interesting camp in preseason, we welcome on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline Browns analyst, Nathan Zagura. Nathan, welcome back, bud.
Thanks. Good to be with you guys and excited that we're close to regular season football, which I think we've all have been eagerly anticipating.
We are very excited to have you, very excited to have football back. On one note, you were in Seattle. Is it too touristy to get Starbucks in Seattle?
I don't drink coffee. I'm a conscientious objector due to childhood trauma, but I think it would be totally fine to get it and to go to the original Starbucks. The very first one is there, so I think people should do it. Unfortunately for us, though, it was raining the entire time we were there. With the exception of the game, it rained the entire time we were in Seattle. So it wasn't really touristy weather.
All right. I don't want to...
We want to be delicate here.
But you said it, so what? Childhood trauma with coffee. I mean, we can totally gloss over this.
You get coffee.
No. I think it's fair.
But you said it.
Yeah, I said it. Well, I've talked about this many times on Browns Daily. So when I was a kid, I was an only child, and we would go out to dinner all the time. And dinner would happen, and you're a kid. You're like, all right, now can I get an ice cream, or can I go? I want to get me out of this restaurant. I want to go play, whatever. And my dad would basically be like, dinner's over. And now sit there and watch me drink my coffee. So I then he'd order a post-dinner coffee,
okay,
which he would drink over, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And I was just like, I'm out on coffee. Coffee ruined hours of my childhood because I just had to sit in restaurants and watch my dad drink coffee. So
that
out
actually
on coffee.
Totally tracks.
Yeah.
Out on coffee. So I've never had it. By the way, I would say with my energy levels, don't need it, fortunately.
Fair.
It would probably be scary, but yeah. So that was it. That was it for me.
So you
and my dad smoked cigarettes too, and then I was out on cigarettes. So no coffee, no cigarettes ever in my life.
You just watched a dude drink coffee. He didn't like recite poetry or like tell you the secrets
sure
of the world.
Something, but I my most vivid memories would be we would go into San Francisco to Gasparri's, which was my favorite pizza place, and we would sit there, and then across the street was this awesome ice cream place, and he would never let me go. We'd have to go together after he finished his coffee, and I'm just sitting there like, come on, man. So coffee, in my mind, I thought it made you a little bit of a crud. So I was like, I can't be associated with that.
I love it. I never drink coffee, never have drank coffee in my life, so I didn't have a childhood trauma like that other than the fact that I just didn't like the taste of it. I honestly love the smell of coffee.
Me too.
Have no problem being around it. I think it's like a beautiful scent in the morning that kind of gets me awake when people drink it. But
sure.
No, never, not a coffee guy. And yeah, my parents smoked growing up, so I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, look, the same. I guess we share more than we knew in common.
How about that?
That's wonderful. How about it? Yeah, I'm fine with it. And I like coffee candy as a kid. I like the taste of that. I like coffee ice cream. And I do make, Kayla drinks coffee every morning, and I make her coffee every morning. That's part of like the little morning routine. And I love it. Smells great. But not interested in drinking.
Yeah, like the smell. I like the cigar smells. Can't smoke them, though. But, whatever. To each his own.
If a cigar didn't stick with you for
3 days?
Ever, it would be a much more enjoyable experience. Because at the time, typically when you're having a cigar, you're already having a good time and you're like, yeah, this is going to be fun and an add to that good time. But then when it's still with you two mornings later, and sometimes the people, you know, around you in your life that you would want to, you know, perhaps give you a kiss are like, yeah, no. So nah, not worth it.
This is a good time to tell the audience that I'm smoking a cigar while drinking a cup of coffee here. It's good to be me.
It is.
I didn't have these traumas. Right?
Clearly, no childhood trauma for you. It was a little different.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And
You're good.
No trout with sugar either. I mean, look at me. I'm just on the fast track to diabetes or cancer, but we are living the life. Nathan, let's get to the Browns here. How would you describe the whole preseason for the Browns, starting with training camp? Do you think it was a positive one in the end for this team?
I think overall, yes. I just think it's more, you know, what the preseason used to be and what the preseason is are very different now. So is it the most entertaining time of year? No, we didn't see Deshaun Watson. We never saw Mari or Judy. You know, you didn't get to see this offense at all really in the preseason. But I would say the overall body of work that this team's put in, you know, has helped them get on the same page. Now, I think the next 2 weeks are probably as important as the entire process thus far combined, because, you know, we haven't had all 11 starters on defense in a single practice yet. We're going to get that now with Dalvin and Greg and, you know, Hicks coming back. We have not had many practices with everybody on offense out there together. And now for the next 2 weeks, we should get that every single day. So I think that the next 2 weeks are going to be very important. We turn the attention to the Dallas Cowboys and getting ready for that game in this season. But yeah, I think they installed what they wanted to. I think the guys on offense are certainly very comfortable with what this offense is going to be. And they're excited about that. You know, we really didn't see many indications. Saw a few, I would say, maybe in the last preseason game where we put some of the RPO stuff in there, some of the little half waggles. But for the most part, you know, it's going to be unveiled, I would say, against the Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, I think overall successful. We didn't lose necessarily anybody for the season like some teams did in terms of players of note. So I think that's a win. You're trying to get healthy, and, you know, hopefully with our tackles both being activated, that means that we are close to being healthy on that offensive line and at that left tackle spot.
Nathan, I watched the game on Saturday night. I was on the road. I was in a hotel room, and it was actually on NFL Network, so it was great. I popped it on, and, you know, I haven't really sat and watched one of these games live. Been so busy on the weekends, you know, go back and watch it, but a little different watching it live. Sure. And I don't know, man. I know it's preseason, right? You're not supposed to read too much into it, so I'm not. However, some of those dudes are, like, going to be backups on this team. They're going to make the team. A lot of them won't, but, you know, 30, 40% of those guys will make the roster and be depth. And those guys, a lot of them will be starters on special teams. So I was, like, a little concerned about some of our depth. Am I crazy to feel that way?
And what if what positions in particular? You don't have to name them.
Not even, like, a particular position group. I just didn't like giving up the big plays in this game. And certainly the special teams and the kickoffs. Like, we're just – I know it's going to take time to figure that thing out. And I do like it, by the way. It makes – what an exciting play that it is. But, man, I didn't like our coverage on that. I don't know. I mean,
good. To give you a little comfort, number one, I don't think anybody that was on the field during that punt return touchdown would be on the field for a punt return in the regular season.
Okay, that's good. That's
a little bit more comforting. The big play they made, DK Metcalf was one-on-one with Justin Hardy. That should be an advantage for DK Metcalf. Hardy's really a special teams player, but because of the injuries and the fact that they didn't want to play guys at corner, he was out there playing corner. So he gave up that one. He gave up one of the other big ones that ultimately was called back as well. So, you know, that's not somewhere he's going to be. Now, I thought the long run, that was bad. But again, the people who missed the tackles are not going to be on this roster. In fact, a couple of them have been released already today. So it's tough. I think it's a very difficult evaluation. Sure, you would like to see them play better. The people that I wanted to see in that game, to be honest with you, were DTR, Jamari Thrash, and I thought both of them continued their excellent preseasons. I'm a big DTR fan. I thought he made a couple of throws in that game. The touchdown to take the hit he did and deliver that football was fantastic. To move the safety with his eyes on that dig and then hit the post down the middle from that vacated spot, I thought was great. And then he made a throw to Jalen Darden that wasn't caught, rolling left from about 40 yards where a guy was in pretty good position and put it right on his fingertips. I thought was very impressive. And I wanted to see Huntley because I think ultimately the Browns are hoping to maybe get some value there. And 17 to 22, three touchdowns. he certainly he showed you that. But the reality is there really wasn't a ton to see even in this game. You know, Jermaine Ifedi at left tackle and played, you know, a few series there. And the fact that we didn't call his name once, I thought was a win. But other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot to see in this game. And the reality of what the preseason has become is that not many people out there, and certainly not many people who are out there beyond, you know, the Jameis drive, are going to make plays. I thought Cedric Tillman looked very good in his limited time out there. He's taken some big steps forward. But, you know, defensively, I think it's kind of been an issue all year. At the end of our bottom of our roster, our inability to stop the run is staggering. And I thought that was certainly on display in this one.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So you've got no Nick Chubb for the first 4 weeks. You've got tackles that are banged up. Probably some new run fits here with the new offensive line coach. Will the Browns be able to lean on the run game early as they have in previous years under Kevin Stefanski?
I think it's a different offense, and I don't think the desire will be to lean on the run game. I think this is going to be a pass-first team. I think the run is going to be complementary, whereas in the past it was you needed to run to set up the pass. I think we're going to be like most what I would call modern and explosive NFL offenses, a team that passes, and that allows you to set up the run, and we're going to spread people out, and you'll have lighter boxes to run against. But I don't think this is, man, we better be able to run the football or we're not going to be on offense. You've got... For Deshaun Watson, you've got Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, Cedric Tillman, and you've got David Njoku. I mean, you've got a great group of pass catchers where you're talking, that's what, three first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick? The talent is there. You are not hurting for talent out wide or at the tight end position. And so I think that's going to be more the bread and butter this year. If this team is going to be good, that's going to be what carries this offense.
When... I hate asking this question because it's backing in the corner, but I'm going to do it anyways. When maybe should we expect Nick Chubb back?
I have no idea on that. I think that everything that has been said and when you see him, it feels to me like Nick Chubb's a guy who has a chance to be back in October, which would be fantastic for the Cleveland Browns. But I think that it is... We know the 4 weeks are out, so that what takes you to the first week of October. I think it's going to be sometime in that next month after that. I think there's a good chance you could see him back before the Browns bye week. Let's put it that way. And if not, I think you would absolutely see him after the Browns bye week.
So as we look to the offensive line there, if Jed Wills isn't ready to go week one against Dallas, who's the left tackle?
I would think the hierarchy would be Jed Wills, Conklin, and then Hudson or Ifedi. But I think that there is a strong belief in this building that either Jed Wills or Conklin or both will be ready for that game against the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, so what day do they have to get everything cut down by? Is it tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So we're at 74 now, so 21 moves still to go.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is there like somebody that you think could maybe be traded that... You know, here at this deadline, somebody, you know, is there a position that the Browns should look at on the waiver wire from another team? Like, give us kind of an idea what to expect here in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, I don't think every draft pick that the Browns made this year is going to make this football team. I think that's just the reality of this roster. Could they look to make some trades? Yeah, I think they would love it if a team wanted to secure Tyler Huntley. I think they would look to do that. They've already traded Chris Williams from the defensive tackle position and Cade York. So those were two where they had depth and talent, and they didn't hesitate to make moves. In terms of other guys maybe being able to be traded out, I don't know. The defensive tackle room, especially in light of, you know, they've seen reports that Mike Hall could end up on the commissioner's exempt list. I think that eliminates a little bit of your depth there. I think that you have the ability to make a move at wide receiver if somebody were interested. You know, Mike Woods had a very nice showing there, but my guess is that's probably not going to happen. And then in terms of scouring other waiver wires, there's really not much. I mean, maybe if there was a third tight end that they really liked that becomes available, they could look at that. Because I think right now they'd go into it with two tight ends, with Chief and with Akins, and have Zaire Mitchell Payton on the practice squad. That would maybe be a position that could be enticing to them if a veteran they know and like were to be released. But really, this roster, guys, it's pretty set. I think you're going to have your three quarterbacks, your three running backs, two tight ends, six receivers, and then probably, you know, nine on the O-line. And then defensively, you got same five defensive ends from a year ago. You got right now five defensive tackles with, you know, Dalvin, Quentin Jefferson, Shelby, Mike Hall, Mo Hurst. You got probably six linebackers because you're going to need them for special teams, and they really like Bookie Watson, their draft pick out of Mississippi State. So that would be, you know, Hicks, JOK, Tony Fields, Diabate, Devin Bush, and Watson. I think sixth corner is an interesting spot. I think the top five are pretty good. I know that they like Khalif Halassi a lot. They kept him on the 53 last year. So, you know, in the corner room, you've got Denzel, you've got Greg Newsome, you've got MJ Emerson, you've got Cam Mitchell, I think, is pretty much in there as your fourth. Khalif Halassi, my guess, would be your fifth, and then your sixth is probably going to be special teams, and that would be a battle between Hardy and Tony Brown, but Brown's a little bit banged up right now, so I'd give the edge to the Cleveland native, Justin Hardy. And you got your five safeties with D'Anthony Bell coming back, you know, Thornhill, Delpit, McLeod, Bell, and Hickman. I mean, this roster is pretty much what you thought it was going to be, kind of following the draft, with, you know, maybe the exception is a guy. There could be guys on the bubble that were draft picks. So say a Siaki Ika, a David Bell, although I do think they like David Bell a great deal.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, and I don't think he actually is in any danger.
Nathan, looking to the offense, I know you said they're going to be a pass-first offense, which is something you know, pretty consistent with in kind of how you talk about that. But there's been a lot of concern about how well or unwell the offense looked throughout training camp and individual practices, the joint practices, the preseason. So I guess where we start, when we look at that offense on the field that's going to hit four games in September, where should we start the expectations? Is this going to be a work in progress?
I think this team should be good. I think you can't look at it. There's no time to rest. You got Dallas Cowboys at home week one, the Jags on the road week two. I mean, you've got to come out ready to play, and Kevin Stefanski has done a good job in the past of getting this football team ready to play early in the season. We saw that, you know, last year in kind of yucky conditions down at Cleveland Brown Stadium as they trounced the Cincinnati Bengals. But no, I don't think that I think you'll have an idea through 6 weeks, let's say, of kind of really where this team stands, big picture. But you have to expect them, and they need to come out and be able to execute immediately. That's what everything was for. That's why you were so judicious with certain things and safe with some things, is because you wanted everybody healthy and ready to go September the 8th. So I don't think that you don't have the luxury of that in the NFL. Every game matters too much. Every game matters too much to kind of say, oh, we're going to ease into it. No, you got to be ready to play and play at a high level right out of the gate.
Nathan, whether you and I share a love of coffee or not, it doesn't matter. You're the best, buddy. We appreciate you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Nathan's group.
Thank you, buddy.
Browns analyst on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think we overrate September all the time. And I understand what everybody says about, well, you got Dallas, who a lot of people like me don't necessarily buy into Dallas. Jacksonville was the collapsible team. If Doug Peterson doesn't have a good season, he'll get fired. Then you got the Giants. We know where the Giants are. Then you've got the Raiders. Like, oh, and then after that, you've got Washington. Those five games give you a real choice, a real chance before Philly, Cincy, Baltimore, the Chargers, which Herbert should be back by then. Like, I understand what everybody's saying. Teams struggle all the time in September. I'm not going to tell you in real time we're not going to panic. But I just think this, every single year we've talked about, well, you don't have a chance to show you that the schedule's really tough. The AFC's really tough. I mean, their struggles came in the middle of the season last year where they had a couple bumpy spots in about two different spots of the season. Great teams, good teams, overcome bad Septembers all the time. And I don't think it's fair to this team. I don't think it's fair to those guys in that locker room to come out here. And I'm not saying Nathan's doing this. I'm saying from my standpoint, do I expect the defense to hit the ground running week one? Yes, nothing's changed in the defense. It's the same 30 guys, same 25 guys you had last year pretty much. The offense, I have no idea how anyone can expect them to hit the ground running week one.
I don't expect that to happen at all. I expect them to go into the game and try to grind one out.
Did it surprise you that Nathan said pass first offense?
No, we just talked about it, you and me.
Well, so
sort of with the running game, not 1,000% to start the year. Being a little sarcastic, you know what I'm saying? Like not having Nick Chubb is a big loss.
I think, I have no feel about what to expect with the offense. Meaning, when we say pass first, are we talking 60-40? Are we talking 51-49? Because those are the gap between that 9% is tremendous. And
like, I think, Nick, the passing doesn't have to be just because you throw more than you typically would. It doesn't have to mean you're throwing 51 times a game and also putting up 45 points. Like, I think that, you know, there is a legitimate chance the Browns could be a little bit more, like, Stefanski's I think it could change, but Stefanski's been a play action guy. A lot of the passes last year, we know, were a little shorter. It gives our guys a chance to do something after the catch. So I wouldn't say we should expect this to look like a Mike Leach Texas Tech offense.
See, it's funny because on one hand, they are going to change up some of the different, from everything I've heard, is they're changing up some of the blocking schemes up front and how they deploy it and whether it's more of a zone than kind of what they've done previously. But like, all of, you know, the short passing game in the preseason and the short passing game during camp, I don't know if that's about where the offensive line is or whether that's what they want to do with Deshaun. Because if you're going to be a passing offense, but you're going to be a short passing offense, I don't know that works. And I think there's one layer you and I have not gotten to yet that I think it would be silly for us not to touch, which is it's probably foolish to expect Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey to be in lockstep on everything, considering Kevin and what Kevin likes to do. And this is not a criticism, because what Kevin likes to do has won. And they've won Super Bowls with what Kevin likes to done. Like Kevin likes to do, or Kevin likes to done. They've also won Super Bowls, by the way, with what Ken Dorsey likes to do. So I don't really have a feel either way, which I prefer, because I don't really give a damn. I just want it to look right. But it's a lot to expect two guys with differing opinions of what an offense should look like, with one of them being the head coach and play caller and a new O-line, with a new O-line coach, with differing blocking schemes, with no Nick Chubb. I mean, the clearest thing you got is a healthy wide receiver and tight end room. I am knocking on damn wood at that point. And then the philosophical change is you're probably going to pass more than you're going to run. To what degree, we don't know. And oh, by the way, your $230 million quarterback who has not lived up to that contract through the first 2 years for whatever reason, well, now he's coming off a shoulder injury. Like, I can't math that math. I can't. Like, I'm trying to tuck it all together and, no. This is going to be. But that's just a lot. To then come out and be like, we're going to be fine in week one. Again, I'm not saying you're doing that, but I just like, I don't think people have put together, this is not excuses for Deshaun Watson, which I think has become the lamest go-to. I'm not making excuses for Deshaun. I would make an excuse for any quarterback that's about to head out on the field with this amount of what the bleep going on in front of them on the, I put Pat Mahomes in this scenario. What can you expect? Like, righteously, what can you expect? Because I don't think it's, you better look like a $230 million quarterback. I got to be a little bit more realistic about that. I've got to be a little bit more
authentic.
Dude,
I've lowered my expectations significantly for what I feel this guy's going to be this year.
See, it's funny. I think it's okay to have the expectation big picture. I just don't know in September. And maybe, listen, maybe they actually hit the ground running because they've been so conservative and taking care of everybody's health. Like Nathan kind of painted that. Hey, you know, you kind of took it, not easy. I don't want to make it seem like that's what he said, but you were cautious and not to go too far and not to push this team too far in the preseason so everyone could be there week one. It's just a lot to expect it to just, with a click of a finger, oh no, by the way, it's the best offense you've seen under Kevin Stefanski or anything approaching what some of the expectations are out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.